Today we're going to continue our series that we started at the first of the year called A New You. We're learning to walk into this new person as the scripture is talking about, that we are made as a new creation. All throughout scripture we see the word new describing our relationships and the gift that God has for us. He's got a new mind. He's got a new spirit. He's got a new heart. He makes all things new. He gives us a new day. We put on the new nature. We got so many things that is promised to us as new, but yet so many of us, year after year, day after day, we go in and we wear the same spiritual clothes we've been wearing for years and decades. No, you need to learn to put on that new wardrobe, that spiritual wardrobe that God has given you, that you can experience the new freedom that God has for your relationship with Him. Now, last week we started the series. I started the message in the series called "Stop Being the Victim." Stop being the victim. And today, I want to pick back up on the second part of that message. Stop being the victim, part two. Now, I told you last week I feel like a spiritual coach. That sometimes, as a coach, a good coach knows when to press his team. Right? He knows when to press his team. A real good coach knows how to get the most out of his team and individual players is to help them go beyond the limits that their mind has set for themselves. And so a good coach can see ability, and then other people he sees, all right, they got ability, but if we're going to have a winning season, I'm going to have to push them to go beyond the limits they've set for themselves. So a good coach knows when to push you. He knows when to run you really hard. He knows when to praise you. He knows when to give you taps on the back. He knows when to get in your face and say, come on, man, you can do better than that. What are you thinking? He knows when to sit down and have X's and O's and talk just theory. He knows how to do that. But listen, a good coach knows when to push and when to pull. And you know, he knows all this, okay? So today, I want to tell you that this message is not for the weak. This message we started last week is not for the spiritual pansies. I can just tell you that right now. The first service, we were missing a few people in the first service. So you guys are doing better than they did. I think a few of them were spiritual wimps today. They decided to skip out on the second part of this message. Because it's not an easy message. You know, as a coach before in the past, I've had parents come to me and I'll be like, sometimes I just tell them, listen, if your kid's going to play football, it's not a game for spiritual wimps. It's not a game for pansies, okay? It's an aggressive game. It's not for the timid. If your kid is timid, this is probably not the sport for your kid. Go play upward or something, but this is not it, okay? Just telling you, nothing wrong with upward. My kids play upward, okay? But there's nothing wrong with that. But what I'm saying is sometimes we just got to say, all right, sometimes it's not going to be easy. Sometimes the messages are going to push us and motivate us. And sometimes they're probably going to push you to the brink of, oh, that hurts a little bit. But it's because I want to see you walk in the new person God has called you to be. I don't want to see you get up and live your life decade after decade and stuck in the same place. But I want to see you advance and walk in the fullness of everything God has for your life and for my life, okay? So how many is with me today? Are you ready for the second part of this message? All right. So let's get right into it. Let's go right into the second part in Romans 12:2. Look what it says here. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good, pleasing, and perfect. So we are called not to copy the behavior and customs of this world. So what does the world do? The world says this, that everybody's a victim. Come on, more than any time before, we're living in a time in society when talk shows and radio shows and TV shows and articles and blogs are telling us that everybody's a victim, right? Everybody's a victim, you know. We've gotten so politically correct that we're making a bunch of sissies in society. Oh, I'm telling you right now, I know that's not good. Political correctness has its place, and there is a need for being aware at certain times. But at the same time, I think we're producing people that everybody thinks they're a victim. Everybody thinks they're a victim of something. And we're bringing out this victim mentality. And this is just the opposite of what God wants. God doesn't want you to have a victim mentality. He wants you to have a victorious mentality. God wants you to live victorious, to walk victorious. And so he says, don't copy the thinking of this world. What? We are changed by what? We're changed by the way we think by God. Listen, let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. So we're not to copy the way the world thinks. The world says I'm a victim. The world says everybody owes me something. The world says, you know, feel sorry for me. The world says this and pushes these points, and we don't copy that behavior. Okay? If you copy that behavior, you're going to live your life subpar to what God has designed you to live. He wants you to get out of that thinking of always being the victim. Change the way you think and become the new person. Learn God's perfect will. Listen to this. A victim is defined by their past, but a victor is defined by who God says you are. A victim lets their past define them. Well, I'll never be more than this because of this. Because this happened to me, I'll never be more than this. A victim lets their past define them. And I'm tired of seeing too many Christians walking around spiritual victims, mental victims, because something that happened in your past that was awful, but God wants to move you beyond that tragedy. God wants to move you beyond that hurt and rejection, and he wants to define you as a victor, because God says you and I are more than conquerors. God says that you and I, we are the head and not the tail. God says that over you and I, that we are called to walk a head above, saying, pick your head up, even in the dark season, because weeping lasts for the night, but joy returns in the morning. We have seasons of pain, but it should not define us. We are victors because we see who God has called you and I to be. Look what 1 Corinthians says in 13, verses 11. When I was a child, I spoke and thought and reasoned as a child, but when? Everybody say when. Isn't that the million-dollar question right there? What's when? But when I grew up, I put away childish things. I will tell you this, that I have met people who have grown up at different seasons of life. Now, if you've had more than one child, you know that every child is different, isn't it? Every child grows up at different stages in their life. Some children grow up, mature faster than other kids. It's a little bit longer than it needs to take. You're like, when are you going to catch up? You know, the world's passing you by. I wish you would mature. I wish you would grow up a little bit. Take some more responsibility. Any parents of teenagers understand what I'm talking about here today. Every kid is different, right? Every child is different. And I look around the room and say, spiritually, it's really the same way. That I've met people who were 10, 12 years of age that had been in and out of hospitals all their life, and they had a very mature sense of timing. They had a very mature sense of destiny. They had a very mature sense of life and the precious gift that has been given. And they are so much wiser beyond their years because they've experienced some things that have made them face reality. Then I've met other people who are 40, 50, even 60, who are still very immature because they still act in a childish way. They still haven't grasped the important things in life, and they still are living immaturely. So maturity has nothing to do with an age, which I'm going to say this in our own life spiritually, maturity has nothing to do with age. I've met people who were saved for a year or two and act way more spiritually mature than people I've known who've been saved for decades. Why? Because they have learned to say, oh, this is what God says about me. This is what God's will is for my life, and I'm learning to yield to that, and I've learned to embrace that and realize God has got something better for me if I've just learned to surrender my life fully to the Holy Spirit. And I see other people who just stay right there. They had their initial experience with God, and they've never really grown much. Oh, they've been faithful, and they've been touched by God, and they've had experiences with God here and there, but they've never really fully come to maturity. So when do we grow up? When I put away the child's thinking. When I put away childish thinking, that's when I mature. That's really the way it is with our kids. When they put away childish thinking, this is mine. This is mine. You owe me this. You owe me that. This is mine. This is mine. This is mine. And when they start saying, oh, I'll give, I'll help out, I'll vacuum, I'll do the dishes, I'll put away the laundry, Dad, I'll pay for gas today. We're like, who are you and what have you done with my child? No, they're maturing. You see, in the same way spiritually, when I put away the childish way, the selfish thing, it's all about me. It's all about what I've been through. It's all about the hurt that's happened to me. It's all about me. What's God doing for me? What's God, what I do have, what I don't have? And I say, no, God, what can I do to help advance your kingdom? What can I do to use the giftings you've given me to help somebody else who's hurting? Then we see people beginning to mature. Choose to mature. If you are going to break a victim mentality, one of the things you're going to have to do is you're going to have to stop complaining. I'm telling you right. This will keep you locked up in a victim mentality year after year, day after day, is when you take on the spirit of complaining. Now, tomorrow morning, all of us in this room, when you head to work or school, you know certain people are just going to be waiting, and you're going to try to avoid them because, you know, they're just waiting to tell you how bad their weekend was. You're laughing because you know what I'm talking about. Some of you are looking over your shoulders to see if they're here today. Listen, if you're going to break out of the victim mentality, you got to stop the spirit of complaining. Nothing's ever right. Nothing ever works. Nothing ever goes for you. Everything's wrong. Everybody's against me. Nothing ever goes right for me. It's this habit. And if we're not careful, we slip right into this cycle of complaining every day, complaining about everything, and we keep ourselves locked in the victim's mentality. One of the first things you got to do is stop calling 1-800-CRY-BABY and pick up your big boy shorts and say, all right, today I'm going to leave the house without complaining. Today I'm going to quit looking at everybody's against me. Today, and even though I may think it in my mind, I'm going to quit verbalizing it, and I'm going to quit complaining about every little thing. Turn to your neighbor and say, he's preaching to you today. All right. There's no way he could be preaching to me. I know he's preaching to you. Okay. Look what Galatians says in chapter 4. Let's read several of these verses in chapter 4, picking up in verse 1. Think of it this way. If a father dies and leaves an inheritance for his young children, those children are not much better off than slaves until they can grow up, even though they have actually owned everything their father had. Are you understanding this? That's what he says. All right. He may have left them. He may have died and left them a great inheritance, but he's like, all right, you can't get it until you're 21. So even though they own everything, they're still not going to get it. They're still living as slaves to the house because they haven't reached maturity to receive it. That's what he's talking about here. Verse 2 says they have to obey their guardians until they reach whatever age their father set. And that's the way it is with us before Christ came. We were like children. We were like slaves to the basic spiritual principles of this world. Verse 6 says, and when because we are his children, God sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, Abba, Father, which means daddy. Now you are no longer a slave, but God's own child. Let's say it together. Now you are no longer a what? A slave, but God's own child. And since you are his child, God made you his heir. Verse 9 says, so now that you know God, or should I say now that God knows you, why do you want to go back again and become slaves once more to the weak, the useless spiritual principles of this world? And so he's saying this, that we have received an inheritance from God, that we are no longer called slaves of the world, but now we are heirs as kingdom of God, children, sons and daughters of the king. Why go back and be a slave to the victim of the useless principles of the world? What's useless of the world? Everybody's against me. Nobody likes me. I'm always the victim. That's the principle of the world. What about me? That's the way the world thinks. He says, don't be a slave to that kind of thinking. Why would you want to be a slave and not free? It makes no sense. Why would you want to be a victim and not a son or not a daughter? Why would you want to be a prisoner and not set free to live free? We must stop. Listen, we've got to stop. And we talked about this last week. And this is really today where we find ourselves battling. Right here, the chair. Not just any chair. Not just any chair, but it's the victim's chair, right? The victim's chair. We talked about it last week. Husbands and wives and marriages are fighting over who can sit in the victim's chair. He doesn't appreciate me. I have to do all this. He doesn't appreciate me. She doesn't appreciate me because I have to do all this. And I'm a greater victim. No, I am. No, you are. No, I am. No, no, I'm a greater victim here. And then we produce victim children. Nobody likes me. Nobody at school likes me. The teachers don't like me. The coaches don't like me. My teammates don't like me. The band director doesn't like me. Nobody in the neighborhood likes me. Nobody. Everybody is the victim, and everybody's fighting in the family for the victim's chair. And finally, somebody's like, get away. This is my chair. If anybody's going to get the people to feel sorry for him, it's me. This is my chair. And we grab a hold of the victim's chair, and we hang on for dear life. My story's worse than your story. Nah, 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 nah. I'm the true victim here. We see singles fighting over it. I've been hurt. No, I've been hurt. No, I've been hurt worse than you. My pain was greater than yours. Oh, yeah, I've been hurting longer than yours. Oh, yeah. Everybody's fighting over the victim's chair. We got to stop fighting over the victim's chair, because when I sit in the chair of the victim, I am missing out in the victory that God has called me and you to live our life. We got to jump out of that chair. Don't be a slave to the victim's chair. Don't be a slave to it any longer. Listen, as believers, let's stop using our energy to recycle our pain. I mean, we use so much energy to recycle, so much energy. Give me that chair. We fight over this chair. Then we get here and say, Pastor, I know I don't need to be here, but I have no energy left to fight my way out of this. I've been battling this for years. I'm mentally fatigued. Come on, you gotta shake your hand when you say that. I'm mentally fatigued. I have no energy left. I have no energy left to get out of this chair. Yes, you do, because you're using all your energy every day to stay in the chair. How about quit using all the energy you have to fight over who's the greater victim and say, I'm going to use this energy to get out and say, God, today's a new day. I'm not going to allow myself, as bad as I want to go back and sit in this victim's chair. I'm moving beyond that. I'm breaking free from that. Look what Ephesians says in verse chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 21. Since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, throw off your old sinful nature. What's it say? It says, take us off, man. This is it. Throw away this victim's chair, your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew. Make your mind new. Renew your thoughts and your attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. We are called to move beyond where we're at, and we got to say, God, you called me to not be the victim. Quit sitting right here in the old nature. Throw this off and say, I'm not going to go sit in that chair tomorrow. Tomorrow, I'm not going to get up and get in the victim's chair. Today, when I go home, I'm going to quit fighting with my spouse over who's the greater victim. I'm going to quit fighting with my family over who's the greater victim. You can have it. You can have that chair all you want. I'm not going to sit there no longer. It's one of the first things you do is make your mind up. I'm not going to sit there in the victim's chair. Because I see this in the life of so many believers that they say, well, Pastor, you don't understand what happened to me when I was a child. Or what happened to me in my first marriage? Or what happened to me 12 years ago? Well, that may have happened to you. You may have been the victim for that season. But at some point, you've got to say, you know what? That was the victim year for me. That was the victim season for me. But I'm not going to stay there. At some point, as a believer, the only way I can be a victim as a believer is if I willingly go there and sit here and say, okay, I'm choosing to be the victim. Because everything God's word says about me is just the opposite. It says that I'm not the tail, but I'm the head. It doesn't say that I'm called to walk around all the time sad and depressed and defeated. No, that's just the opposite. It says that he has given us his joy. He has given us a new life, a new attitude, a new heart. He has given us an outlook in your life that changes, that I can walk victorious, that no matter what I face, that I am more than a conqueror. This is the attitude of the believer that God has for us, and you can't live that attitude sitting here in the victim's chair. At some point, you got to say, I'm not going to sit there. I'm leaving that behind me. You got to choose it. I've seen people who would skip from church to church looking for the victim's chair. For years, I've seen people who would come in the door and they're looking for the victim's chair, and if they don't find it, they go down the street to another church, look for it there. If they don't find it, they go down the corner, look for another church there. And finally, they find somewhere where they can sit in the victim's chair. And everybody's like, oh, you've had it tough. Oh, poor you, poor you. And you're like, yeah, you're right. You know, that's what we feel like. And you love the attention and you love the pity until pretty soon that season kind of passes and somebody else comes in. A new victim comes in, and they tell you, get out of the victim's chair. We got to get somebody else in that victim's chair. And then you go down the street looking for another new victim's chair, and they go around continually looking to be the victim. I mean, these are Christian people, some good people, good-hearted people, but yet their mentality is they're always looking to be the victim. Stop looking to be the victim and say, God, I want to be victorious. I've met some of the people who've had some of the roughest life and had some of the worst things they've gone through, but you would never know it by their outlook. You would never know it by their attitude. And they're walking with the new smile and they're walking blessed of God simply because they've chosen not to dwell in the seat of the victim, even though they had every excuse to be here, and they've broken out of that mentality and said, I'm going to live my life to the fullest of what God says about me. I can't make you do that. That's something you've got to be willing to do on your own. That's something you've got to choose to do willingly every day. Just like I choose to put on the new nature, I've got to choose to get out of the victim seat and say, God, I'm going to walk in the victory you've called me to walk in. I've seen people, we accept the work of grace on the cross, we become spiritually free, but it never really correlates and translates to the mind. Look what Romans 8, 6 says. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to what? Death. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. Are you seeing this? See, it's not enough. Listen to me very clearly. It's not enough to get free if you're not free in your mind. I've seen too many believers, they come in, they accept the grace that comes from the cross of Jesus. Their sins have been forgiven. They've accepted the work of the cross. They find spiritual freedom. And they have been set free not only from their sins and the power of sins, but they've been set free from every bad thing that's happened in their life if they choose to walk in it. But even though it's there and they know it's there, they don't really believe it in their mind. Oh, that's for everybody else but me. That's for everybody else for me but me. And they live their life right here, back in the victim's chair. Is their sin forgiven? Yes. Are they going to heaven? Yes. But they're walking their life and living their life defeated, living in the victim mentality, reaping a victim's reward, and never experiencing the freedom that God has for their life. Because they've experienced freedom spiritually, but not mentally. See, it's not enough just to have it happen. You got to believe it in your mind. You got to see it. Let the Holy Spirit transform your mind. Let him transform your mind and let you know you have been set free. See, a person has to have hope to produce faith, correct? Man, if you don't have hope, you're not going to have faith. You got to produce hope. But see, what happens, see, the victim sees that around him and says, I have no hope because nobody believes in me. The victim's chair, the victim's mentality says, you know what, I just can't get enough hope. Nobody believes in me. Nobody cares about me. Nobody loves me. Nobody accepts me. Nobody wants to help me. Nobody likes me. That's the victim chair, and it produces no hope. But see, the victor's way of thinking, according to what God has designed you, is simply this, that, you know what? Even if nobody else in this room believes in me, even if all my family doesn't believe in me, even if nobody at my job believes in me, I know what God says about me, and He is the one in control, and He believes in me. He says I am free. He says I am more than a conqueror. He says that I have won the victory, that He has paid the price for my freedom, and I don't have to walk around a slave to my past, a slave to my hurt, a slave to my rejection, but I can walk around free because God has declared it, and God has settled it once and for all. See, that's the victor's way of thinking. It doesn't make a difference. My hope doesn't come from Justin as much as I love Justin. My hope comes from the Lord. My hope doesn't come from you. My hope comes from God. And if you believe me, that's great. I love that. I need that. But you know what? Most importantly, I know what God says about me. And I've got to know that. To leave the victim's chair, that's the mentality you got to have. Quit looking for everybody else to affirm you and learn to let God's word affirm you. Learn to let the covenant that God has spoken over your life. Learn to let the things that God has said about you and I be what affirms you and drives you out of the victim's chair so that you can begin to walk victorious every day of your life the way God wants you to live. Stop getting into this chair of the victim. See, victims keep looking until they find someone to feed off of, don't they? The victims are always looking for someone to feed into that, someone to feel sorry for them, someone to give them attention. See, if you're going to conquer this victim mentality, then you must have the courage. Listen to me. You must have the courage to cut off all support systems that feed your victimized state. You want to break out of this victim mentality? Then tomorrow when you get up, don't text that person who you know is going to feel sorry for you. Don't call that person you know who wants to feel sorry for you. Don't go hang around that coworker that you know is going to ask you, how was your weekend, you poor thing? And it's going to make you say everything bad that's happened to you. And they're going to give you the affirmation you need and you feel good. No, when you want to leave that victim mentality, that victim living, you got to cut off that support system that says, ooh, I like their attention. Because they always feel sorry for me. But you know what? I got to break that off, and I got to get out there and get away from always having someone feeling sorry for me, someone always giving me pity, someone always trying to say, I'm the reason that, you know, everything that's happened to me has been bad, and everything's going to be okay. You know, it's all right. Quit feeding off of that. See, if you want to break that victim mentality, break off that support system. Don't let your life pass you by while you're stuck in a victim mentality. See, a victim mentality keeps you stuck in your past. Victim mentality says, I was a victim. And remember what I said last week? We've all been victims in this room. There's nothing wrong with being a victim. We're admitting I've had something happen that hurt me or was wrong to me. I was the victim of something that beyond my control. All of us in this room have a story. All of us in this room have been a victim. But it's the believer says, I don't stay a victim. I'm victorious. I'm coming out of that. That was just for a short season. But God, you sustained me. God, you brought me out of that thinking. God, you healed my heart. God, you came and you pulled me out of the victim's chair. And you allowed me to laugh again. You allowed me to sing again. You allowed me to smile again. You allowed me to have tears of joy again. You allowed me to love again. You allowed me to give again. You allowed me to trust again. See, it pulls me out. So get away from it. Don't let your life pass you by stuck in the victim's chair. It costs you more than you want to pay. See, it's time that someone challenges you to grow beyond the victim's chair and say, enough's enough. It's time to put away the childish things and say, God, I'm ready to take on the adult attitude. I'm ready to mature and say, God, I want your spirit now to renew my mind. God, I want your spirit now to renew my heart. God, I want your spirit now to renew me and help me walk in the new person you called me to be. Stop spiritual sleeping your life away. Stop spiritually walking around, sleepwalking all your life. There's a scene in the movie where you see when the inmates are walking the inmate down from their cell down to the death row, to the lecture chair or whatever it is, and they're walking, they're ringing the bell and saying, "Dead man walking. Dead man walking," because that person's heading to the execution chair. How many of us look like that spiritually? Oh, we're alive. We even attend church, but we might as well have a bell saying, "Dead man walking." I've been spiritually dead for decades, for years. I'm not living my life. Because why? Because I'm stuck right here. The old nature produces death. The new nature, letting the Spirit in control, produces life and peace. If you're stuck in the chair, you're not living. If you're stuck in the victim's mentality, you're not living. You're a dead man walking. But you know what? The great news is this, that God makes all things new. And when you simply say, "God, I find myself in the victim's chair. I've been hurt. Something's happened that's hurt me bad. And I want out. God, I need you. God, I am surrendering. I'm tired of living this way. I know that I don't need to be the victim any longer." All we're doing is simply yielding to the Holy Spirit. And it's like the Holy Spirit will come and wrap your arms around you. It'll grab you and say, "Let's go. Let's get up. Let's move. I've got something better for you." But it comes when you've got to admit it and say, "I've been there. I'm stuck there. I want to move beyond. And I'm willing to get out. Use my energy to get out." We've got to stop sleepwalking our life away. We've got to stop getting up and putting on spiritual diapers and get up and put on our spiritual armor. See, only you can grow. Only you can decide when you're going to grow up. Only you can decide when you're going to mature spiritually. And it's when you quit putting your spiritual pull-ups on and saying, "God, I'm going to put on my spiritual armor. God, I'm going to put on my spiritual armor today, and I'm going to fight. I'm going to fight with the weapons you've given me. And when those thoughts come against me that say I'm no good, pow, that's a lie. When the thoughts of rejection come against me, pow, that's a lie. When the thoughts of, you know what, hurt and anger and bitterness come against me, pow, that's a lie. No weapon formed against me shall prosper in the name of the Lord. I have been made a conqueror. I don't have to live a slave to that way of thinking anymore." It's the victim mindset. And God wants you out of that so you can experience the fullness of what He has for your life. Stop being a victim. We've wasted too much time being a slave instead of being a son. We've wasted, I know Christians that have wasted years and even decades of their time being a slave. Slave always the victim, slave of their pain, slave of their past, slave of their guilt. And they have never experienced living life as a son and daughter. It's enough. I'm telling you, it's enough. It's time for you to get out of that seat of being the victim. I'm going to invite our musicians to come today. It's time for you to get out. There's people in this room that you have allowed your giftings that you have to be buried for years. Some of you, you got spiritual gifts that God's given you, and you buried those talents for years. Why? Because somebody hurt me. So I buried that thing away. Some of you got, I just tell you, in this room, there's spiritual people in this room who've got so many giftings for the kingdom of God. All different forms, shapes, and sizes, and giftings we are to the body. And because somebody's hurt you, you kept that thing buried forever. I was a victim, so I can't be used of this anymore. I failed God, so I can't never be used of God before. I did this in my past, so I can never be used of God. And we're burying all these gifts that God has for us. Listen, no. It's time for you to get out of that victim chair. I was the bad guy, or or something bad happened to me, and say, God, I'm going to learn to walk free. I am not a slave. Listen, you are not a slave. You are not a slave to anything bad that's happened to you. You're not a slave to anything bad that you've done in your past. Today, you have been set free as sons and daughters of the King, heirs of His kingdom. We can walk in the fullness of God's kingdom if we'll just make our mind up and say, God, I'm going to experience that today. I invite you to stand on your feet this morning. Anybody here say, Pastor Ben, you're preaching right to me.
Yeah, okay. All right.
Good. Hey, lots of people, okay? You're not alone. Don't feel like the victim, okay? It's a victim. He's only preaching to me. I'll tell you what. No, I'm preaching to a lot of people. A lot of people. We're going to close out with this song. It simply says, I'm no longer a slave. I'm no longer a slave. If you feel like you feel led, step out and say, I want to come to the front and worship, you can. Don't feel pressured to. But we're just going to make it very personal as saying, God, I am no longer a slave. I'm not going to be held to a victim slave any longer mentality. But I'm stepping out as a son and daughter, and I'm going to walk in the freedom you designed.
And you unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies until all my fears have gone. And I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God, and I'm no longer a slave to fear, and I am a child of God.
Your hands if you're comfortable doing this. I want to pray over you. Father, today, Lord, I pray over every person in this room, Lord, today that is battling with the fear, battling, Lord, with the spirit, Lord, of always feeling like the victim. So, Father, I pray right now that we would reject this spirit of feeling like we're always the victim. We reject the victim seat, and we're going to choose to walk victorious. We're going to choose to walk on the affirmation that comes from our Father, who you say we are. God, what you have said about us. God, I pray right now that you are setting people free of that victim mentality. You are setting them free today. And I speak over them that your Holy Spirit today would rise them up and raise within them spiritual boldness, determination, hope, and faith. God, today would increase in their life as they step out and say, I will not be a victim, but I will walk victorious. In Jesus' name we pray. Say amen. Amen. Come on, put your hands together one more time. Hey, I love you very, very much. Thank you guys so much for receiving this today. God bless you. You guys have a great, great week, okay?